The topic of climate change here. Do you remember what was the letter? A bunch of medical doctors got together and poo-pooed the whole COVID scare and tried to present valid science. And what was the name of that effort?
We talked about it before the program, and you don't remember because
it starts with a B. Barrington. There we go. Yeah. Well, it was a letter from a bunch of people who knew what they were talking about, and they said that's not true, and that's not true, and this is not good science. And now there's a group doing the same thing with respect to climate change. They're not really poo-pooing climate change, but they're saying there is no climate emergency. They're comprised of some 1,600 scientists internationally, over 300 from the U.S. I'm wondering if this will be ignored by the media, as was the Barrington Declaration.
Well, I'm sure it will, because it goes against the current political climate and trying to control people's lives. And so, if you don't have any climate emergency, then, the government can impose, things upon us that basically cause us to spend more money and ultimately, be more controlled by the government. So this group, the Global Climate Intelligence Group, or CLINTEL, the acronym is CLINTEL. So this group is, as you said, it's a world climate. They wrote up a world climate declaration, much like the Barrington Declaration, but this has to do with all about climate. And, the main thrust in the climate change hysteria has to do with CO2. And we've spoken many times about carbon dioxide and its not necessarily negative effects, but its lack of effect on the temperature of our of the globe. And last week we of course talked about a lot of places in the world, Texas being one of them, is heating up and seems to be a little bit warmer this year than maybe normal, whatever normal is. Temperatures, the climate does change. I mean, I don't think anybody would argue about that.
This article doesn't argue. In fact, they say it. I'll just read this short paragraph. They present evidence for their position. The coalition pointed out that Earth's climate has varied as long as it has existed, with the planet experiencing severe cold and warm phases. The little ice age only ended as recently as 1850, they said. Therefore, it's no surprise that we're now experiencing a period of warming. And there are cycles, are there not, Don? Some long, some short, with respect to the weather.
There are cycles, and of course, we talked about several of them. last week, one of them being El Nino and La Nina, and El Nino is the warming of the Pacific, the temperatures in the Pacific, which then causes a warming over the land, and that's affecting Texas as we speak, and some of the other southern states and central part of America. But these are cycles, and the sun goes through cycles, and we are going through a period of more activity on the sun. So if you've got more activity on the sun, that means you have more radiation coming from the sun, which means that radiation is going to hit the Earth. And guess what? The Earth is going to warm up because of the more radiation. So there's many factors affecting the climate. And I think we went through, as I said, several of those last time. But the real question with climate change is man having any effect. And, of course, climate change, net zero policy that the Biden administration is pushing hard for, and the globalist in the World Economic Forum is pushing hard for, that we're going to have net zero by the year 2050 is absolutely absurd, because one, carbon dioxide is a very poor greenhouse gas. Unlike water, for example, as we talked about last time, the water is a very efficient greenhouse gas. So the more water you have in the atmosphere, you should expect more warmer conditions. So to blame everything on man's burning of CO2, when CO2 is actually plant food, and they point that out here in this article again, it's not a pollutant. In matter of fact, you know, plants like CO2 and need CO2, and the more CO2 you have, the more plant growth you have. So it the plants then, you know, part of photosynthesis is you take up carbon dioxide. The plants take up carbon dioxide, takes up light, and it turns the light into chemical reactions, which then releases oxygen and builds what, you know, carbon polysaccharides or saccharides or sugars, for example. And so the plants are building sugars. We then eat the plants, and then we use the sugar to that's our energy source. And, you know, a mitochondria is not going to give you much energy if you don't have sugar. And so, you know, with the and if you, anybody who's ever taken basic biology these days should know the Krebs cycle and the cycle that says, okay, we input sugar, we output carbon dioxide in water, and in the process, we get a chemical that's called adenosine triphosphate, or ATP, and that's the energy molecule within every cell in our body. And without ATP, you're not going anywhere. You don't, your muscles won't contract. You won't be able to see anything. I mean, you just won't function, period. And so we need the sugars that the plants are then producing. And then the plants need the carbon dioxide, which, you know, we get from exhaling, for example, and from the cows and from the animals. So the animal, there's a synergy between animal and plant life. This has been known in biology for years, but we seem to have forgotten about that synergy and seem to have forgotten that CO2 is really a plant food. And so, really, yes, go ahead.
So I was going to say, so all these who are screaming climate emergency are totally disregarding the symbiotic relationship between vegetation and living animals? Are they just ignoring that? What, how will we produce food if they, I mean, is everything going to be artificially produced if they get to that net zero?
Well, I mean, even producing something artificially, you need energy, right? Where does your energy come from? Where you, I mean, okay, windmills or solar panels? You can't have enough windmills and solar panels to power the world with. And, you know, we, and I talked about last week, the effect, the potential effect of windmills on the wind speed, thereby affecting climate itself.
By the way, you bring up a point with respect to Texas here. Since we talked last week about this, there is a Texas Utility Commission that is warning us that the Texas electric grid is in trouble. With the, all the severe demands from air conditioning in the hot summer, they said part of the reason is the wind farms are not producing. There's not enough wind. And we've come to rely on so many wind farms that now we're on the edge of brownouts, rolling brownouts.
Yeah. Which so is not it's good. Not. Yeah, no, it's not good. And, you know, we were energy independent. We, you know, Texas in particular, I mean, we produce all kinds of oil and you know, fossil fuels and gasoline and diesel fuel. And you know, we had, you know, generators, you know, not coal-fired, but, you know, gas-fired generators. One of the, when you're drilling for oil, one of the things that comes out is natural gas. I mean, because there's a lot of natural gas when you're drilling. And so here in Texas, if you would, you know, drive by, for example, a oil refinery, which is easy to do, southern Texas, of course, Beaumont and all that area have many refineries. And you drive by them, and there would be these tall stacks in the, you know, up in the air, and there'd be flares they're burning off the natural gas, which, you know, is could be used for
that seems like such a waste, doesn't it? Yeah,
for producing electricity. You know, so there was an overabundance of that, and they couldn't contain it or use it fast enough in order to
This group addresses EVs in this article too, and talking about let's have an honest evaluation of the costs of switching to electric vehicles. And basically, their summary is it's impractical at this time. It takes so many fossil fuels to make the stuff, and we talked about that last week too. Another point, and this reminds me of John Stone Street's Breakpoint presentation just a few minutes ago about the difference between a truth and an assertion. And this group Clintel also dismissed the narrative of global warming being linked to increased natural disasters like hurricanes and floods and droughts, stressing there is, quote, no statistical evidence to support these claims. They are assertions without evidence, and we swallow them whole. We just swallow them whole.
Just heard, yeah, if you were listening to the news, you know, the last couple of days with the hurricane in Florida, you know, oh, that's because of global warming. The hurricane was because, I mean, we have hurricanes every, people don't live here in the South. We have hurricanes every year. And sometimes, we have more hurricanes. Sometimes they're more severe. This hurricane wasn't a very severe hurricane. Yes, it caused damage and it caused flooding, but that's what hurricanes do. And so, to blame all of this on climate change is ludicrous. And, of course, they point out in this in their declaration, the Global Climate Change Declaration, they point out, for example, that the current climate models aren't hitting the mark. As a matter of fact, they're so far off in their predictions that if to rely on them is foolish at this particular time.
Just to be specific, we're talking about computer programs that have been designed to predict what's going to happen based upon certain weather inputs. But the models have all been designed to do something. They're biased.
Right. What you do is you model, history. We've been collecting data for a long time about our climate, and then you put in various parameters and you think, well, I think, carbon dioxide has this much of an input into, climate change and into temperature increases, and I think this other gas has something else, and this other aspect has something else. And so you give each of these things a parameter or a fudge factor, if you will, and then you fit that to history, and then you say, okay, I got my model, it seems to be working historically, and then let's go project 50 or 100 years out and see what happens. And oh my gosh, we got this hockey stick thing going on, where if we keep going with carbon dioxide, we're going to be in trouble. Well, they don't take into account all the parameters that our climate really affects our climate. And one of the factors that they, in this article pointed it out, that they don't take account of is the reflectivity, for example, of cumulus clouds. And our Earth is covered 50% by cumulus clouds at any, point in time. And these are the big white puffy clouds that you see, let's say, before a rainstorm or something like that. And so the bottom might be black, but the top of it is perfectly white, and that reflects a lot of light. So we all know that a cloudy day is going to be cooler than a cloudless day. And the reason is, yes, okay, the cloud blocks the sunlight, but it does more than blocking the sunlight, because the cloud isn't necessarily heating up. It actually reflects the sunlight back into space. And so that reflectivity then keeps the climate cooler than it otherwise be if you didn't have any clouds. But God knew that from the beginning, right? I mean, he knew that, okay, we need to protect the Earth because I've got my children on the Earth. And yes, okay, they've sinned, and now I've got to send my son in the whole salvation, message. He made the Earth to be inhabitable by human beings and animals and plants and the whole biosystem that we have.
Yeah, despite the nature of human beings, he gave it self-defense mechanisms, did he not?
Oh, he did. He did. I mean, it is just amazing when you start to look at some of these things. For example, and I guess it was a couple of years ago we talked about this, but in the ocean, there are these kind of like whirlpools, for example, or where the ocean spins and creates a big suction. And they found out that sucks carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere and deposits it on the ocean floor. I mean, who knew? There was such a mechanism. And so I wonder if they account for that in their models.
The climate model. As I recall, those were down around Antarctica, too. They were toward the southern end of the planet.
Yeah. And well, you know, it doesn't matter. Your atmosphere is going to be mixing around the world eventually. Mm-hmm. And so if the industrialized nations are producing more carbon dioxide, then it's going to be sucked up by a number of factors. One is like from the ocean, from these funnels that deposit carbon dioxide. They also release carbon dioxide when the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is low, for example. And so there's a homeostasis, there's a static process to keep the carbon dioxide at a certain concentration. And of course, the other thing is, okay, you're going to have more algae when the carbon dioxide's a little bit higher. And guess what the algae does? Well, the algae is a microscopic plant, if you will, and it's going to be sucking up carbon dioxide. And so little green algae that you see on ponds and various things, those are sucking up carbon dioxide as well. So you've got all of these mechanisms for monitoring and keeping carbon dioxide in check. And so we're making a big fuss on extra carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And, you know, the concentration of carbon dioxide is only 400, a little over 400 parts per million, That's not a very high concentration, whereas the concentration of water is significantly higher than that, you know, obviously. And like I said earlier, water is a much better greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide.
Now, there's another statement in this letter that is a significant one, I think, because they don't leave us without answers, without solutions. And I'll again, this is a short paragraph. There is no climate emergency. Therefore, there is no cause for panic and alarm. We strongly oppose the harmful and unrealistic net zero CO2 policy proposed for 2050. Here's the key here. Go for adaptation instead of mitigation. Adaptation works whatever the causes are.
And you know, Jim, the paragraph after that is the one that I've been looking at. It says, to believe the outcome of a climate model is to believe what the model makers have put in. This is precisely the problem of today's climate discussion, to which climate models are central. Climate science has degenerated into a discussion based on beliefs, not on sound, self-critical science. And the question is, should we not free ourselves from the naive belief in immature climate models? But the whole point is, it becomes a series of belief. And those who are screaming about climate change may or may not see that this necessity that Dr. Don's been pointing out about one needs the other, which tends to make me believe they are totally discounting any type of intelligent design, let alone creation by a personal God who has created this place for our existence. And they want to become their own gods and manipulate this information to create their own emergency.
Hmm.
Does that sound like a reasonable?
It does, but unfortunately, this article is too based in reality to get much attention. And Don, I think you made that point.
Yes, and it will. So we'll see. You know, it's getting traction, of course, in the conservative media, but it's, you know, are you going to see it on MSNBC? I doubt it. CBS or, you know.
Interesting. And these people, I'm thankful for their voice. They risk something in doing this, don't they? You're a scientist, Don. What happens when you go against the grain?
Oh, if you're if you're a climatologist, for example, or if you're a climate physicist, then you'll be blackballed from getting grants, for example, you know, because these days the grants are given to those who are politically correct and going with the political policies of the day and not against them. So they could lose their positions at universities. They can lose their credibility. They could not be invited, you know, to speak or even to give lectures at various places. So these folks have everything to lose and nothing to gain from, you know, speaking out against this. And of course, this is 16, like you said earlier, so over 1,600 scientists from around the world that have pulled together and said, hey, this is lunacy. What we're doing, what these people are saying, is absolutely based on not science, but we guess that this is going to happen in politics, because if you have a crisis, then that opens the door for the government to do things. Now, I found it interesting that they said, you know, not mitigation. Whenever, you know, government tries to mitigate, or even scientists, for example, whenever anybody tries to mitigate something, that is, we're going to impose some type of, you know, solution to this problem, man messes it up. You know, so so when, for example, you know, the one of the mitigations is, let's just put reflecting stuff in our atmosphere, and that will reflect the light and that will cool us down. So you go and do that, and we have clouds that do that already, so why are we spending the money to do that? You go and do that, and then you put too much up there, and now we have another ice age. Because there's too much stuff in the atmosphere.
And we don't have have the best track record, do we, in solving the big problems?
No. And when you're talking about doing this on a global basis, I mean, you know, it is ludicrous, really.
Yeah. Interesting article. Again, it's from the Epic Times, and the link to it is in the chat window at BrokenRoadRadio.com. Don, as always, we appreciate your bringing us this stuff, and look forward to next week. Oh, maybe we're all tired of talking about climate change. I know. We've worn it to death, but the audience changes every week. So this
beat that one. Yeah, now we need to move on to other topics.
Well, I thought this group letter was significant, and I certainly didn't want to ignore it. So we'll do what we can to get the word out. Don, thanks very much. Don is a member of the board of Creation Moments. Their website, creationmoments.com. And there you will find articles and videos and podcasts and all kinds of information that support the biblical story of creation. And it's scientific information. That's the basis for all that. Everything you see in-house at Creation Moments. It's a good place to visit, creationmoments.com. Don, have a terrific week. We'll see you.
Well, y'all too.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
So long. Yep.